Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
check this out.
Blessings and welcome to the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flava. Today my special guest is Donye Goodman. I'm kind of giving you a little snippets of his flavor, just some of the talents, and for you to get a sense of who this man is just through his music. So sit back, relax as I finish playing the snippets, and we wait for Donye to call in.
Thank you.
Everybody got something to say. They 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 got something to say. Now ladies, everybody got something to say. If you're not gonna be my girl, be your brother. Gotta move, moonshine. Gotta move, moonshine. You got to go, moonshine. When he says no, moonshine. That door, moonshine. Hey, you gotta move, moonshine. You gotta move right now when he says, moonshine. Hey.
Again, I want to welcome you to the Leopard Carpet, where my special guest today is going to be Donye Goodman. I am so excited about having this gentleman on my show today, not just because he is an amazing talent, which you just heard a little bit of snippets, you know, from pieces that he's working on just to show his talents, but also because, you know, he lived up here in the Pacific Northwest for quite a while, and strangely enough and sadly enough, we never crossed paths, but we know some of the same musical talents, and he has worked with them, and I have, you know, supported some of the talents that he is connected to. So, Mr. Goodman, I want to welcome you to the Leopard Carpet.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very good. I know you're a busy man, and you had to kind of squeeze us in today, but I'm glad that you were able to take the time, you know, to step on the Leopard Carpet with me so we can get to know you, I can get to know you, and get a sense of who you are as an artist and where this all stemmed from. So welcome, Donye. I'm really excited, and I appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, as I was saying, you know, you lived up here for quite a while, and I don't think we honestly ever crossed paths, and I'm, like, so sad because you're not here any longer, and we know, you know, some of the same people. You have worked with some of the artists that I know or I play on my radio station, and it's just like, wow, you know, but I feel blessed to, you know, come to know you, you know, in this way and, you know, to be able to follow you and support you from here out. So, you know, I was kind of reading over your bio, and for many artists, you know, it goes back to childhood in a sense of where, you know, music kind of came into play for them. But it says that you kind of started playing drums at the age of 3.
Yeah. It was I was too young for me to remember it offhand, but I hear the stories all the time, and enough of my family members, you know, let me know that I was a musician at a very, very early age.
Okay.
My grandmother told me, you know, when I was like 1, that, like, you know, we'd be in church and they'd be singing, and then I would go up to the piano at like 1, and I would like press the keys until I matched whatever key they were singing in, and then after I did that, I would grab a pair of sticks and I would like get under the piano and like beat the pedals to the beat of the music or whatever. So I had been doing that for an early age, and then they, you know, my uncle told me, he was like, it was just amazing. One day you just walked up to the drums, and you were too little so you couldn't sit on the stool. So you just stood at the drums and just started playing, and we have no idea where it came from.
Wow,
you know, so
that's a great,
you know, granted,
story.
Yeah, granted, music did run in my family. My uncle played, and so I remember watching them, even as an infant, I remember seeing members of my family do it. And so
okay.
I knew it was in my blood to do it, but sometimes you know, the good Lord blesses us with gifts kind of beyond comprehension in a sense, because, you know, each of my family member played a different instrument, you know what I mean? And then I came along and I just played anything I picked up, you know.
Okay.
And so it was just one of those things where, you know, and it's been that way since I was tiny.
So are you saying that you really honestly have the capabilities of playing multiple instruments?
It's a gift like I was blessed with. So I'll give you
okay.
an example. Okay, so I love the drums. I'm a drummer at heart. And so that's what I started playing, right? And then so one day I sat down at a piano and I just messed around on it until I could play it. That's literally how it happened.
Okay.
You know, I messed around on it until I could play it because I would hear something in my ear and I would just tinkle on keys until I could find out what I heard, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then that grew into, you know, me like composing my own things. What made me a musician was, you know, my dad was a pastor growing up, so he had musicians that would come, and then because they were in the military, they would leave and they would have to be deported or whatever, and so finally, we didn't have anybody playing the organ, so I just sat up there and embarrassed myself until I could.
Okay.
that's okay. Literally, I just embarrassed myself until I could play something, and then it went from that to, you know, I want to learn how to play the bass. So I picked the bass up, and I did the same thing until I could play the bass.
Wow.
You know, so it's. I just do that, and then growing up in middle school, I wanted to play the saxophone. That's what I really wanted to play because saxophone players were cool, and they got all the attention, and, you know, I wanted to be able to, like, go in the audience and, like, scream at people with the saxophone and do this big old show because saxophone players used to just get the, you know, saxophone players got all the attention that I saw growing up. But I couldn't because when in middle school, they were out of saxophone. So they were like, here, play the alto clarinet. So I just picked that up until I could play it. You know, so it's kind of a story of my life. Like, I was never really afforded the opportunity to, like, oh, I'm going to take lessons. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to do all this stuff. I just ended up, you know, sitting down and learning for myself and just playing it, you know, over time. You know, learning what to do and what not to do, trial and error, and all
okay.
of that.
Okay. That's so interesting to me. I mean, I understand, you know, people having, you know, God-given gifts for things, you know, and I tell artists all the time, you know, I use that statement, you know, because you can mm-hmm. just tell when somebody's, you know, a natural singer or has just a natural gift, you know, for playing an interest instrument. But, you know, to be able to, you know, play multiple instruments and to pick it up and, in a sense, teach your own self by ear mm-hmm. how to make the sounds come out the way that you want it to sound or to mimic something that you're hearing, that's pretty amazing. So that obviously this is what you're meant to do. You know, my daddy's a Baptist minister.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he tells me all the time what I do here on, you know, Flava News Radio or what I do with artists in support of what they do and who they are is my ministry. So it's very
right.
clear that as I did my research into you, you know, a little bit, and as I hear your story, that this is, in a sense, your ministry. This is your gift of being able to create and being able to support, you know, other artists and what they're trying to create and have that ear, that real ear for what it needs mm-hmm. to sound like in the end. So that's amazing. So then you just started at very young then. But at
yeah.
what point did you take it and say, this is what I really want to do in a sense as a career?
That is a very good question. Because growing up, I was taught that music wasn't something that you pursued as a career.
Okay.
I was taught that, you know, growing up, especially like in church, you know, like I was raised by my by my grandparents. So, you know, they were very old school, and, you know, they wanted me to be anything but a musician. You know, they don't mind me, they didn't mind me being like a church musician and all that, but like, they were against like the whole jazz idea, and like they you know, that was the devil to them. So for me, growing up, I was very restricted, and although I had raw musical talent, and I was afforded opportunities, but I couldn't take them because, you know, I was, you know, living in my grandparents' house. It was like, no, you're going to be a scientist. You're going to be in the military. You're going to be an engineer. You're going to be an artist. You're going to be something else, you know, other than musician.
Right.
And all I really wanted to do, deep down in my heart, all I really wanted to do, really, at first I thought, I just want to play music, and I just want to just play music. And then as I grew up, I started learning, well, playing music really isn't my passion. My passion is composing music that takes people places.
Okay.
That was when I started realizing, you know, I remember writing my first song, and even in church, it was like a gospel song, and I was like, you know, I was getting ready for church that Friday night, and my dad said, you're going to sing something. You're going to sing. And I was like, well, I don't want to sing something that's already out. I want to write something. And I wrote it, and I played it. And when I was done, like, you know, people were crying, and it, you know, it was as if, like, God spoke to people and touched people's lives through the music that I wrote.
Mm.
Regardless of what genre it was. And so I started taking it seriously. I didn't know you could get paid for it. I just thought, you know, hey, I just write music. You know, I didn't know it was a career then. You know, I thought that, you know, I was doing it for fun. So growing up, I would always have, like, jobs. Like, I was detailing cars and, you know, repoing furniture for, like, Rent-A-Center and, you know, you know, working at Boston Market, slinging food, and working at Sizzler at the salad bar, you know, being a cashier. I was doing all these other things, you know. And so finally, I remember showing up, and this is when I really took it seriously. 1997, I got off the plane in SeaTac, Washington. I had just arrived from Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
And my uncle, you know, he's passed away now, but my uncle came and picked me up. He said, I know the perfect place for you to go. And I didn't know what he was talking about then. I don't think even he knew what he was doing.
Okay.
And he took me to this little church out there in Tacoma, Washington, a guy named Gary Wyatt. And he said, he sat me down. He said, well, how can I help you? What do you do? I said, well, I'll show you. So I walked over to his keyboard, and I just started composing music. I think I wrote like 4 songs on the spot.
Mm.
And he looked at me, and he said, do you even know what you're doing? You know, I was like, well, I'm just writing music. He was like, you have no idea what you're capable of. You have no idea what you have. And so he sat me down and showed me, like, no, this is what you are made to do. You do it way too easily. Like, the stuff just comes to you. You can do it way too easily. And so after that, he connected me with people that needed music production for their records. And that's when I started realizing, hey, I have something. You know, I have something special. And so people would come to me and be like, hey, your music, I don't know what it is about you, but whenever you produce something, like, it takes me out of where I am and puts me wherever you want me to be. And so that's when I started realizing, you know what, I was made to do this with, you know, with my gift. I was made to kind of touch people's lives and, like, minister to people and give them, whether it be hope, whether it be, you know, whether it be to calm down an angry spirit in someone, whether it be to give people hope for their future, whether it be to encourage them about what they're going through, or even if it's just to dance. Like, I knew that my gift was made to touch people's lives in that way. And that's when I started realizing. I was about 22.
Okay.
I started realizing, I was like, you know what, okay, now it's time for me to, like, really pay attention to what I'm doing and hone what I'm doing and really fine-tune it and make it something.
You know, it's interesting that you, in a sense, you know, talked about the power of music. And I know I'm just going to really like you. I knew it before I talked to you, okay, Danye, but I know I really like you now. Because music is powerful. It is just like that. And I think that sometimes artists get away from that understanding of the power of what it is that they create. And what they put out there for us to experience really has a lot to do with how we feel in that moment. And I think that music can give you hope. I think that also music can allow you to feel emotions. And sometimes maybe those emotions aren't so comfortable, but it's necessary. And so I think that you touched on it all, that, you know, if you can create something that draws people in, that allows them to feel and allows them to, in a sense, be taken outside of themselves or maybe even to be taken inside of themselves, whatever it is that they're needed, there is that power. And for you to understand that at a younger age, I think that's pretty good, because I many times when I speak to artists, I don't think they even get it still when I talk to them about the power of music. I talk about that a lot, but I don't always sense that they grasp that. And so, in just hearing the things that you have created and watching the videos that Chico's been putting out and everything, it's amazing, because it's very clear that you can take a visual. And in a sense, from that visual and sound, you can put music to it. You know, whether you are a part of the original production of something, you are able to do your own spin on what it is to then create a different feeling for us when we see it. You know, for instance, like the McDonald's commercial or whatever, you know, that has been circulating, you know, and then you added your little twist to the young man singing his order into the the microphone or whatever you know, the speaker box or whatever you call it, you know. And so interesting just to see those things, but to hear what you have to say in regards to that, you know, takes it to a different level. So you know what, let me jump into a piece, because I have this sense I could just keep you on the line and just keep talking and talking, but I do want people, you know, to kind of get a sense of your style and your music. And, you know, I'm so excited you're signing as an artist for Spectra Music Group, for Spectra Jazz. So I'm excited about that, since I'm also a part of the Spectra Music Group, group. I guess I'm a part of them too. And so, so anyway, I'm going to jump in and play Groovin' at Sunset. This is by my special guest today, Danye Goodman. All right, if you're just tuning in to the Leopard Carpet today, my special guest is Donye Goodman. He is newly signed to Spectre Jazz, and you just heard his title track to his CD called Groovin' at Sunset. So, Donye, I know I mentioned that, and you mentioned the fact that you were up here in the Pacific Northwest, and you worked with some of the, you know, amazing talents up here, from Chocolate to Darren Matamani. Oh, can't even say his name, Darren Matamani, and you know, and Darius Wilbridge, and you know, I just like, man, I cannot believe that I haven't met you, you know, or I didn't know your name, and so it, you know. What was it like, you know, to work with those talents? Because they are considered the top, you know, some of the top talents up here in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, honestly, with I think one of my best friends, my best buddy out there is from the Northwest. It's like one of my brothers, is a big brother to me, Darius Wilridge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because of him. He played a huge role in basically showing me that there was more to my music than even I thought.
Mm.
Working with him was probably, I met him in 2001. And so I didn't really get a chance to work with Darius until 2004.
Okay.
Because I thought, I had never, before Darius, I had never played in a club. I had never done any of that. I just all church.
Okay.
And I had always maybe thought about stretching out, but, you know, I didn't know how to do it, because the truth is, I didn't know that there was a place for my music beyond church.
Okay.
But what I did know was that church and religion and Christianity, sometimes they don't always understand musically what I'm trying to say. And so Darius showed me that there was an avenue to say what I really want to say musically without being judged about it. And so I started doing gigs with Darius, and Darius didn't even know I produced music. I was just a musician. And
okay.
He was like, hey, I got this song I'm working on for my record, you know, and he hit the little beat on the keyboard, and we were just sitting around at his house, and I was just meeting him for like the second or third time. And I said, hey, man, can I help you out with this? And he said, sure, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled the disc out of the keyboard, and I took it home, and I rearranged it and gave it back to him. And I gave it back to him, and this is what he said. He said, if I knew you were going to do that with this song, I would have made this song the title track to my second album.
Okay.
And ever since then, like, I've been writing and producing with them, and it's been great. You know, along the way, same year, 2004, or I think early 2005, I ran into Darren Matamani.
Okay.
And I had heard about him, like, once, because I was gigging with this jazz group called Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, we're going to have Darren Matamani do this and do that. And I was like, who is that? And so I didn't know who he was. And then he came up to the church I was playing for and recorded in the studio, because we were doing this romance album, this R&B album. And he comes down to the studio, and he just wails on the sax. And, like, I can't even play. I just turned around and looked in the room where he was playing, and I was like, what? Who are you?
Right.
And so he said, you know what? He was like, you know, I'm Darren Matamani, and he let me know, you know, this is who I am. And I said, man, okay. And so we said, well, you know what, let's just vibe a little bit. Let's just vibe. And so I just started playing something, and he started playing with me. And four songs later, you know, we had written and produced four songs, and it's on his Don't You Know record. So, you know, I have been... And Darius and Darren, they kind of exposed me to this world of saying what you want to say musically. Like, this is what you want to say. You know, say
okay.
what you want to say. You don't have to say what anybody else tells you to. And And through Darius, I ran into Chocolate. And how me and her met was I was at a Darius gig, and I was playing drums. And I was sitting there playing, and Chocolate walks in. And I knew who she was because I had heard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she sits down on the stage between me and Darius. Darius is on the keyboard, and I'm on the drums. And we're rocking out this groove. And we just kind of just start rocking out. Like, we're just vibing out, head banging. We're in the, like, lounge aquarium of the triple door, and, like, it's mad crazy. And I look over, and Chocolate is staring at me like, geez, dude, where did you come from? And
right.
So, you know, she was like, hey, we got to sit down and do some stuff, you know. So sat down with her, and she calls me up one day, and she's like, I heard you produce music. I heard your stuff. I love it. She's like, I need a bedroom song, you know. And I immediately knew what she was talking about. I said, cool, no problem. So I said, give me a couple hours. I hang up the phone. I sit down at the computer, and I'm like, okay, bedroom. All right. I pretty much know what she's talking about. So I sit down, and I create this sexy track out of nowhere, and then I send it to her. And I'm biting my nails because, you know, you never know what people are going to say, you know. During this time, like, I never know, like, is it going to be good enough? Are people going to like it? It, you know, yeah, I'm new. Nobody knows me, really. And so she calls me back, and she's like, that is awesome. I'm putting it on the record. So we come out with a song called Grown Folks, and it kind of blew up. Next thing I know, it's on, like, VH1, you know. So I had no idea that, you know, working with all these people would get me in so many places, you know. And just looking at these people, you would think, oh, they're just nobody, they're just this, they're just that. But, you know, when you've been blessed with a gift, you know, and you're kind of anointed to do that gift, you know, word just travels, you know, and that's how it happened, you know. So working with those three, it was always an experience. You know, each of them have a different personality. Each of them have different input. They all have something to give back and bring to my table too. And so,
right.
Like, each new working experience was a challenge for me to kind of stretch myself a certain way and, like, reach beyond just sounding this way or reach beyond just sounding that. Because I had to change gears with each one of them, you know. Darren Matamony is, you know, smooth jazz. That's a certain flavor. So I had to develop a sound that sounded like Darren Matamony. And then you have Darius Wilrich, which that has his own character. And then, you know, there was Chocolate. She had her character and her writing. Chocolate is probably one of the most unbelievable writers I've ever worked with. Like, she's crazy with lyrics, and her placement is crazy. So, you know, I couldn't even believe what she put to the song. I was like, I would have never thought to do that, you know, but that's one of those things that she was blessed to do. Like, she can write to anything. She can write a song about hot dogs and potato chips and make it sound super
right.
And make it just sound incredible. Yeah, she's very good, you know. And so, my experience with Darius was that way too, you know.
Right. Well, you know what? With that being said, Mr. Donyea, I'm going to play Grown Folks so everybody can hear a little bit of Chocolate and a little bit of your flavor when it comes to this style of music. So, again, this is Grown Folks by Chocolate, produced by Donyea Goodman.
I got it all right, boy. But you learned the lesson or two.
Chocolate produced by Donye Goodman. And if you go Google or go onto YouTube, I would really recommend that you Google Grown Folks by Chocolate, because it's an amazing video. It's got Malcolm Jamal Warner in it, and it's a track that has gone viral and played all around the world. So that was pretty exciting when I realized that you had worked on that particular piece, Donye.
Oh, yeah, it blew me away, too. I was kind of floored when I heard about it.
Yeah, so, you know, now to kind of shift gears a little bit, and I should have, you know, I should have been savvy enough and gone and hunted down some of the gospel music that you have worked on, but you have shared the stage with some of the top gospel artists out there. Can you tell us about that?
Let's see, I played for Marvin Sapp, I played for Beverly Crawford, let's see, Kurt Carr, Crystal Aiken, which is the winner of the first season of Sunday Best.
Okay.
The list kind of goes on, James Fortune. The list kind of goes on, like, you know.
And have it. So, and how did those opportunities come your way?
I'm sorry, repeat that. I couldn't hear you.
How did those opportunities come to you?
Oh, well, there's a church first off, we know that, you know, Seattle is it's a big area, but it's not that big. So the circle of Seattle-Tacoma is fairly small.
Right.
And so, once you play at one good concert, pretty much people remember who you are.
Mm.
And so I would go play, and then somebody would call and say, hey, you know, Marvin Sapp's in town, he needs an organist, or, you know, Kimberell's in town, we need you to play. Because
okay.
I was one of the more advanced keyboard players in the gospel realm, and so I would kind of get first dibs on who came, you know. So, they would give me the opportunity to either turn it down or pick it up, you know. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times I was going to one of the prominent churches in the Seattle community up there on 28th and Jackson. And so, like, all the artists came through there, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yolanda Adams, all of them. And so they would come through and, you know, they would bring tracks or whatever, but then after the track went off, the band picked up, and we just end up playing, or somebody would come through and say, hey, I'm doing a concert, I need a band. They call our band, and we play. So we end up playing for a lot of artists that way.
So is that Mount Baker Baptist? I'm sorry, with Reverend Manaway?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I pictured the church. I said the wrong name because Mount. Right.
Yeah,
that's pretty
yeah,
exciting.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. So then you've had the opportunity to play with some of the like top like R&B.
Artists. That was an experience that I will never ever forget. One of my good production guys, Marcus Crawford, he's from the Bay Area, but he lives in Los Angeles now. And he called me. He said, hey, dude, we got a chance to go down to L.A. and show them what we got. And I was just like, mm-hmm. because I was afraid of success. You know, a lot of times I would play down opportunities because I was afraid of either failing or afraid of not being able to handle whatever success was coming. So I played it down, and he was like, come on to L.A. I was like, yeah, I ain't going, man. I ain't going to be nothing. He was like, just come. I said, okay, cool. He flies me down there. They actually fly me to L.A. They drive. They pick me up. And, you know, of course, the accommodations were very, you know, very humble. You know, because we're nobodies, you know, so, you know, we have to stay at the friend's house down the street and do all this. And
mm-hmm.
so we were doing this thing for Interscope. So the whole band, we were auditioning for this artist from Interscope. And they come in and they say, well, what songs do you know? And we were like, well, we don't know none of your songs. So he was like, well, just play anything and show me what you got. So the drummer started off. And we literally played for 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Manager says, stop. You guys are in.
Okay.
So he's like, I need you guys to play for this private party we got going on in Long Beach. We were like, all right, cool. So we get to Long Beach. We set up. And we're on stage. And we're everybody's all playing. Sound checking and everything. And so they come and give us this list of music. So we're thinking, oh, okay, we're doing some top 40s, some neo-soul, you know, R&B, you know, we're doing all these cover tunes, you know. But we didn't know that the actual artist that sings those tunes were there. We just thought, you know, we're just doing some cover stuff, you know,
okay.
Real private, no cameras, you know, no cameras, no nothing, you know. You have to have serious clout to get in, you know. They brought us in through the back, so we didn't even see anybody. We set
okay.
up, and they count off. It's like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to do Prince's Musicology song. We're like, all right, whatever. And so we're like, well, we don't have a guitar player, so we're going to have to make it up. So a guitar comes out of nowhere, and I'm looking at Marcus, he's looking at me, I'm looking at Q on the drums, and we're like, what's going on? Turn around, and this little short dude with long hair and some Jordans is playing the guitar. And I'm standing there, like, freaking out because, you know, I've never been this close to anybody, like, of this stature before. And I look at Marcus, and we're all our jaws are dropped open. And I'm like, okay, Prince is standing in front of me playing the guitar.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, like,
wow.
I am flipping out. I'm tripping. And he's looking at me. He's like, come on, baby, what you waiting on?
Right.
So I turn around, and, like, we turn everything on 10 and just sweat it out for the night. And so from Prince, it went from that to, like, Erykah Badu to, you know, NDRE, like, all these soulful artists, you know, and it was just amazing experience.
I bet, Donye. I mean, the stories that you have to tell, the blessings that have come your way, I mean, clearly, you know, this is your calling. This is your ministry. This is your gift that God gave you to share with the world. But what is it like to be in demand like that?
Sometimes it can be, if I don't manage my time right,
mm-hmm.
it can be stressful.
Okay.
If I don't manage my time right, it can be stressful. There was a point in time when my phone literally just rang, and before I could say yes or no to that, it was ringing again, and before I could say yes or no to that, it was ringing again. And I actually had to pull back. I had to pull back because you don't want to ever be guilty of doing too much too soon, and you end up setting yourself up to fail because you begin failing people because you can't take on the load that you're saying you can. And so...
Right.
You have to learn very quickly to only do what you have the fortitude to accomplish. And if you don't, you'll find yourself making a bunch of promises that you can't keep, which ruins you faster than it took to get you there.
Understand.
Yeah.
So where are things for you today? Like what is going on in your world today, and what can we expect from you in the near future?
Well, what I am doing is I've begun writing for my second jazz record. It's actually going to be called Emotions. That's the title of it. I went through a lot in the last 2 years.
Okay.
And in my personal life, and, you know, music is the best way to be able to explain that to people without telling my business.
No,
so,
understand.
So, you know, that's kind of where that is. So I've actually begun writing for it. I'm going to feature a lot more people. Shout out to Chico Nieves Stevens. He found me through another artist, and he is just doing his best. He is doing his best to kind of make me an icon out there. The dude he's over there running his mouth. But we got some projects in the works. And he's actually been pushing me to do some things. So, you know, I've actually begun to, like, start working on a career in film score and TV as well, not just producing music. Because that's also a passion of mine, as you saw with the commercials and stuff like that.
I'm laughing over here because, you know, Chico's listening and he's like, he's all excited. But I know, I like, okay, Chico. But,
I see you doing it over there, man.
But the thing that I can say about having somebody like Chico in your corner, there is nothing better than to have somebody who believes in you. And, you know, when he was introduced to you, when you and he decided to work together, you know, he truly believes in you, and rightfully so, you know, Donye, that you've got people, you know, not only just your talent speaks for yourself, but you've got people willing to speak for you, you know, and I definitely will be, you know, on Chico's coattail and all of that in helping to support that, because I feel very, very honored, you know, to have had this opportunity for you to come on my show, to get to know you, to be able to support you in any way that I can through Spectra and through Flava News. It's easy. You know, you can feel the humble spirit about you. You know, the understanding of the power of your art speaks volumes. And so I know that God is just going to continue, you know, opening the doors for you when it comes to whatever is meant to come your way, you know, when it comes to this music thing, because, man, there's so much more in you to be experienced for all of us. And so I'm going to play a piece off of your up-and-coming project that you call Emotions, and I'm going to play Understand Me. Again, this is a piece by Donye Goodman.
Thank you.
right. You just heard Understand Me, Just Hold Me by Donye Goodman, which is going to be a piece coming out on his up-and-coming project called Emotions. Donye, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day, because you did have a very busy day today. And, you know, stepping on the leopard carpet with me, sharing, you know, a bit about your story, you know, allowing me to play some pieces so the listening audience can get a sense of your flavor, as I would say. And, you know, I look forward to the up-and-coming projects that you've got going on. Again, you know, being able to support you through Spectrum Music Group and also Flavor News. And, you know, tell us where people can find you online if they want to follow you or keep up with what's going on in your world.
Okay, cool. You can find me on where you can find me all the time is on Facebook. If you facebook.com/Donye Music. My Twitter name is twitter.com/Donye Studios. And then my YouTube channel, of course, is YouTube/Donny4GGG, D-O-N-N-Y, the number 4, the letter G-G-G. And if you want to get my album, you can just go on iTunes. It's called Groovin' at Sunrise. Donye Goodman is Groovin' at Sunrise. And as of now, I have I also have a Christmas project out called Christmas with Donye. That's on there, too, if you want to get that. And so, please, you can keep up with me. You can also go to my website, donyemusic.biz, B-I-Z, as in zebra. And you can just check out everything I'm doing. Oh, Instagram, too. I'm on Instagram. Instagram.com/Donny4GGG. Oh, you'll see all my little antics on there because I'm a nut.
You know, I resisted. I was big on MySpace back in the day. Then I resisted Facebook. Now I love Facebook, right? And then I resisted Twitter. Now I'm on Twitter, and I've made great connections on Twitter. I have not gotten on the Instagrams, but, you know, with what you just said, that might just, like, cause me to have to create an Instagram account just so I can go see what you're doing over there. But
it's my Instagram. It gets hilarious because people get to, like, see what I'm doing outside of music a lot of times. You know, that's when I post pictures of my cooking or me acting stupid or doing something, you know, so.
Okay. Well, I think I may have to just go ahead and create that account after I close out the show. But he's definitely got a lot of places you can go find him online, follow him, stay up with him. We'll be, you know, keeping you up with his projects through Spectra Jazz and what he and Chico are working on. And so, you know, you'll hear his music here on FM radio. And I look forward to you, you know, coming back in the future and sharing more, you know, with me and with my audience, you know, what's going on. I am going to recommend everybody needs to go and subscribe to his YouTube. You really do. One of the things that I did not touch on the show, which I definitely will have to on a future feature, is his praise breaks. You really need to go check that out. That's some powerful stuff. Absolutely amazing, you know, to see this roundabout circle of musicians around the United States, you know, coming together and creating some powerful music, taking you to church. Thank you so much, Donye, for taking
also,
the time.
Real quick.
Oh yes.
Real quick, I want to send a shout out to my girlfriend. I have to do this.
Okay.
She is the one that has, like, supported me. She is the whole reason why Groovin' at Sunrise even came out. Like, she's the reason I even put it out. She pushes me, like, past my little barriers, and it makes me uncomfortable a lot of times, and I get mad at her because she's always pushing me to do stuff that I don't think I want to do. But really, I want to do it. I'm just scared to do it. And so she always pushes me. She's always encouraging me. And a lot of times she encourages me to do things and step beyond my parents even more than her own self. And, like, she just sacrifices herself and her time. And Shiloh, I love you so much. I just want to thank you for what you've been to me in my life. And thank you for pushing me to get here. And, you know, it's you and me against the world. So I just wanted to tell you I love you and I thank you very much.
You know, I thank you for doing that because I think it's important to recognize those people that are in our corners. It's not always easy, you know, to love a creative soul. And, you know, I know it's not. You know, I know that what my family and my children go through and me just being Lady Flava. So I definitely can appreciate you, you know, giving a shout out to her because sometimes that's what we need in our corner is that special someone that just, you know, keeps us motivated and lets us know that they're there and that they believe in us. And so that's a beautiful thing. I appreciate you wanting to do that for her. So I want to say, and hopefully I have a piece by Darius, because I wanted to close out the show with a piece that you worked on with him. I want to say that Hold to You was produced by you. Is that correct?
What song was that?
Hold to You?
Yes. Hold On to You? Yes.
Okay, yeah, Hold On to You. Okay, I'm going to close out today's show with a piece by Darius Wilbridge, produced by Donye Goodman, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this show live and to those that come back and check out the archives. This isn't the end of what you will hear from this amazing, amazing talent. Thank you so much, Donye.
Thank you.
We're gonna find another way. This love is good enough to say, hold on to you. And we're gonna see it's not too late. We're gonna have to celebrate what we've been through. What we've been through. I know we have problems sometimes, but I just can't let go. I'd be a fool. Without you, my heart would be broken, so I hold on to you.
I'll hold on to you.
You don't have to tell me to
hold on, hold on.
To stay around the love we make, it's not hard to do. And if it ever felt like paradise, it was because you're just that nice. Won't you hold on to you? I know we have problems sometimes, but I wanna make it with nobody but you. Without you, my heart would be broken, so I'll hold on to you, baby.
I'll hold on to you.
You don't have to tell me to
hold on, hold on.
you just hold on to me as I hold.